shudder. The footy's on Triple M.
Now on Triple M Footy.
Now they're switched on.
This.
Who are you having a go at here?
Is the midweek rub.
Please just call me the Oracle from now on.
Triple M rocks footy.
It's a day away from the AFL season, kicking off at the MCG with the traditional opener between Richmond and Carlton. And we're back with the traditional midweek rub on Triple M Footy with a somewhat new streamlined lineup in 2023. 287 game, two-time All-Australian, two-time pre-season premiership player Joey Montagna is still here in 2023.
Is that a little backhanded compliment? That's nice. A little clip.
Now, we know how much it excited you winning the Premiership Cup. 100 games for Collingwood and Carlton, All-Australian, 2010 Premiership player and People's Norm Smith Medal winner Daisy Thomas.
It feels like I'm coming out to fight. About, like, introducing.
And, of course, journalist, podcaster, TV star, numero uno at afl.com.au and Triple M Footy, Damien Barrett is here as well.
Good to see you boys again. Rabsy?
Yeah. Joey, a little bit of missed humour off the top, Rabsy. You could have just said Damo's here also.
No, a lot of respect for Damo.
It's rightfully so, but where have you been, Damo?
Where have I been?
Like, in terms of the season's firing up, the last month you've been busy, but what do you do before that?
Give me more than a month. The last month, probably the last 2 months I've been firing up again. I do go missing for 10 weeks.
I've been hearing you flat out, Damo.
Thank you, Joey. I was waiting for some support here.
Listen to podcasts? Damo's been on everything. AFL Daily, he's doing the sounding board, I reckon. Yeah. I'm sick of hearing you doing all your predictions and all the hypotheticals.
Sick of hearing that too, Joey.
There is more podcasts than just footy podcasts out there.
Hang on, I haven't been getting engaged like you have, so congratulations on that.
Thank you, yes. A big off season for me as well, starting in November. That was so it's awesome. We've progressed nicely to wedding planning now, which is going really well
this year, or maybe just down the future,
maybe early next year.
Okay,
yeah, all things going
just to
well.
Make sure it's all lined up,
just to make sure we're all on the same page,
and also the training regime. So you're looking fit, yes. You've got 12 months, obviously,
correct? Yeah, and I have been going pretty hard over the summer too. After a decent enough hit out over Christmas, Damo, I've been back on the fitness regime, which is good. Nice. Joey, what have you been up to?
I started it for a little bit and then dropped off a little bit. Hey, by the way, what about Rabsy as the new skipper of the ship? Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
I've brought him so you can just play freely off halfback flank, right?
You're going to lock down and we can all roll.
That's it.
Nah, you've been on the basketball, Joey. I've heard you a few times.
Did a bit of NBL calling over the summer, which I really enjoyed. Actually branched out. It was something a bit out of my comfort zone, but the NBL season was awesome. In fact, game five, the final game of the grand final series is tonight, Sydney Kings, New Zealand Breakers. So that's been a...
Do the Breakers win it?
Oh, they can, absolutely, yeah. Sydney are a bit banged up, but Sydney at
home...
Who
are you cheering for?
Well, I think the Sydney Kings should get the job done. Yeah, but okay. To be fair, the last week or two since footy started over, I've lost a little... I've sort of faded out of the basketball, but yeah, it's been good. But no, looking forward to the footy season. Damo, as you said, if I hear one more person give their ladder predict up, I'll seriously, so over it. And again, how sensitive people get with the ladder predictor.
Yeah.
To people listening, who cares where we put you in the ladder? We just got no idea.
Look, I can say this now, having done it for nearly 30, we have to do one, don't we? Because we get asked to. But let's face it, and let's be honest about it, it's a complete guess,
of course
isn't it? And let's be honest about that. Let's not try and say we're going to prove what happens this
so
year.
So I've got Melbourne on top, Brisbane into second.
Because what we do know, and this is the fact, a couple of teams from last year will slide. History, there will be teams that are up that will slide, and there will be one or two teams that were maybe outside the eight or lower that will step up. We know
you're big on the history of the game.
Yeah,
there's never been a final eight the same as the previous year. So let's not in the eight system.
No. Wow. Now, there'll be at least one change.
Might have been in the final four system.
Yeah. But who it's going to be, we'll just pluck someone. I think Carlton, you know, Port Adelaide, I think, could be a spiker. Some people think...
I think Port Adelaide could be too.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll find out. But plenty to play out.
Well, getting close to ladder predictions there.
I was going to say, if you're going to declare it, who are the ones that go out?
Well, that's
all.
We may as well discuss it.
Yeah. I've got Richmond and Western Bulldogs coming out.
I'm with you.
No, okay.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
You think the Western Bulldogs will drop out?
I wasn't big on them last year. I thought they were cooked last year. I grant you they improved, but I think everyone else that's outside the eight improves more so.
Yeah, I thought the Bulldogs last year would be a slider, but I've got them bouncing back this year. A bit like Melbourne. I think Melbourne are my probably premiership favourites right now. That bounce back factor, I think the additions that the Bulldogs have made, and they've addressed their team defence, which was their whole issue. So I think they'll spike.
I'm still doubtful of the Liam Jones impact, Joey. Just having not been in the system now for 12 months, clearly toward the end rather than the beginning, and I just don't know whether he fits that mix. Yeah. So that's just my take on that before the game starts.
What about Richmond? Because I'm a little bit unsure of them as well.
Yeah.
Taranto Hopper come in, we go, yeah, that's fantastic. But then you look at the midfield coming up just this week against the Blues, you go, well, is that going to actually make too much of a difference? It then forces Cochin forward. Is that, you know, helping your team, or is that making them worse? I don't know.
Yeah, it's again, Richmond are a fascinating one because everyone's fallen in love with the way they play, and then they have added two, you know, two star midfielders. But again, for me, it's their defence that's their issue.
I was going to say, their back line's a major worry.
They play a great game of footy, but they played in too many shootouts last year. So unless they address that, we know you can't win a premiership unless you've got a top four, top six defence. So I want to see them actually, you know, work on their team defence. Because they've got the stars, but they need to stay fit and healthy too, Richmond.
Yeah,
that's the issue for me. The durability, there are question marks. We've already seen it with some players that is touch and go, and injuries as well start to add up for the Tigers.
And they're going to take, as far as we know at this stage, before they officially announce the team tonight, into the game, both Short and Prestia, who've both had some soft tissues in recent times. Now, they wouldn't pick them unless they felt they'd get through, but they haven't had the normal build up.
Yeah. Even Lynch with the foot over the break. So, a few question marks about the Tigs early on.
Yeah.
Again, for blokes who weren't going to hypothesise, geez, we've had a good go at it.
It's been a hot
start. We need some games.
To Triple M Footy's midweek rub. Plenty to come, including a brand new segment, Fair Dinkum or Fugazi, and a slightly new slant on how you're going to do your weekly predictions as well. Yeah. But up next, it's Damo's News.
This is the Midweek Rub with Joey, Daisy and Damo. Triple M rocks footy.
That's it. Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub ahead of round one, kicking off tomorrow night at the MCG. Plenty of news kicking about, Damo. Let's start at the Pies and Jordan DeGoey. Isn't he looking sharp?
Yeah, I want to get the guys' views on it. He could mount the case that his biggest games, his big game performances are right up there. If you take Dustin Martin out of that conversation, I honestly think you can mount the case that he's in the next best conversation. Dangerfield's there and Bontempelli. But when it comes to what happens in 2023, he certainly couldn't have prepared better, and he also couldn't have been more settled off the field. And I was down at Collingwood last week and had a chat to Craig McRae. There's a genuine excitement about where he's at. Now, we've seen this before with Jordan, and we've seen what can sometimes happen. But finally, I really hope for his sake he can get the absolute crack at it that I think would establish him as one of the very good players of the comp.
Yeah, I think we all hope and pray, I guess, that the penny's dropped. A few indiscretions here and there and a decent amount of bad press. It seems like he's finally got everything, the off-field sorted, which is going to no doubt correlate to some really good on-field performances too. Craig McRae and the support that footy club has given him has been second to none. Obviously, the big scandal last year, there was talk of maybe he wanted to go to St Kilda and where that lies. The club could have easily just gone, you know what, you're too much of a pain in the ass. Get out the door. We've had enough of you. They've given him a final chance. It looks like he's just gone and put his best foot forward. And we hope for the Pies and for him that that does turn into great performances, because we've seen what he's done in the past, as you touch on. He's the real X factor. He's a match winner. And if he can play his best footy for the entire season, he could be in Brownlow contention by middle of the year.
Yeah, oh look, I completely agree. And I think in some ways he's probably been harshly judged his last 2 years. If you take his numbers last, he's averaged 20 touches and a goal a game over the last two seasons. There's only a handful of players in the league that actually average that. And we're talking guys like Bontempelli, Petrarca, I think if he kicked a bit more accurately, there's only a small few. So his numbers are already at a pretty high standard. So I think, yeah, absolutely, he looks primed to go to another level. But he's been pretty good for two seasons now, like playing more in that midfield role, getting more ball, but still kicking goals. So, he's a star, and he's going to be the big X factor for the Pies.
If you look at what they did in their first two finals last year, in fact, the first three, they played, but the first two of the three particularly, he was extraordinary.
Dynamite.
And nearly won the game against Geelong. And you marry that up with what he did in 2018.
Yeah.
All four finals they played that year. They lost the qualifying final. He kicked three goals in a grand final, 12 in the final series. You marry those games up.
Yep.
It's really only Dusty and Danger. Take out the 2020 grand final of Danger, and that body works extraordinary too.
And they're match winners. And that's why sometimes too, that there's some of the stats about where they finish in best and fairest. And sometimes it's irrelevant because match winners are different. You know, you need those players, and they are the X factor, particularly in big games, like you touched on. So I rate DeGoey, and he looks primed.
Four new coaches, as we have known now for some time. Three well-known faces amongst the four. The other one, Adam Kingsley, we're going to get to know. He's got a career path similar to what Craig McRae had. Long-time assistant coach at multiple clubs, and a person who always impressed people that he worked with and for and around. And he's going to change and transform how GWS looks. But the interest from a neutral perspective is on the three tried coaches, isn't it? And they're all inheriting, to a degree, a set of rebels, aren't they? The three clubs we're talking about, North Melbourne with Clarkson, Essendon with Brad Scott, and
Rossi Lyon.
Rossi Lyon at St Kilda. So
yeah, that's right. And all those three coaches, they probably got them for a reason, because it's more than just about what they do on field. It's about just changing the whole culture of those football clubs in regards to what they want to stand for and how they can be consistently successful. And in some ways, Brad Scott and Ross Lyon and those clubs, they've almost tempered expectation. I mean, you could say going into that Essendon were starting to get a young list that were primed, and St Kilda, you know, they felt they had a list that could spike. All of a sudden, those expectations are being tempered. Where a club like the Giants, who have almost snuck under the radar, nobody's rating, Adam Kingsley could be the surprise, could be the Craig McRae potentially of this season, with a completely brand new game plan that the players will love, free them up. And these sort of sneaking under the radar, and Clarko probably gets a bit of a free hit for a year or two, going to the worst team in the competition.
Couldn't agree more with Clarko. The Saints become the interesting one for me, because it feels like at the minute, everything and all the noise coming out of St Kilda is almost forgive us before the season starts. We're going to not be overly competitive in some games for the reasons X, Y, and Z. We've got a host of players out with injury. It almost seems like, to me, some excuses and forgive us, please understand why it's happening before the season starts, which I think is very, very eerie territory if you're going to roll that out before round one.
I get what you're both saying there. There is a conditioning element in the narrative, isn't there? And the way they released en masse those names of injured players only 3 days ago, it was like, hang on.
You reckon that was deliberate?
Absolutely. I mean, nothing's done these days by way of a club releasing any information without it being strategically planned. It's not ad hoc, it's planned. And I think hearing you two speak about the tampering of what it was when they first got Ross back, yeah, it's interesting. A couple of issues that are not going to have resolutions quickly, being the concussion issue, which has been bubbling now for years, now starting to reach its form of crescendo with class actions being taken on a couple of fronts, on a couple of natures. There's 60 players and 60 names on one, and there'll be another action separate to that one that's also going to be released. And you've also got the Hawthorn racism situation with the AFL instigating a four-person panel independent of the Hawthorn investigation. But look, these issues, guys, are going to have public outcomes in some form this year, but then the legal spin-offs, particularly with Hawthorn, is going to be, I won't say never-ending, but close to it.
Yeah, and it does feel there's probably going to be a lot of litigation too in regards to a lot of money, whether it's the concussions or potentially you know, the situation with what happens at Hawthorn, that is all going to be a big factor. But yeah, you're right. This is always going to be overshadowing the competition, won't it, a lot this year. The concussion one in particular, it's a hard one because it does seem it's going to be fluid. It's always going to continually be an issue. Even in another 5-10 years, we're still going to be talking about it, but what it looks like is the issue. So it's a really difficult one.
This is something that I think will happen at some stage, and maybe not for today's conversation, but something to look down the track to. Do you see the standard play contract, you two having played it, having a clause inserted that there is an element of danger to play this game, and then you signing up to play it, a form of relinquishing whatever rights you've got to take action against it. Is this where this goes from a headquarters perspective at some stage?
I think it has to, because the only way you're going to, if it's going to come down to litigation and players coming back after the fact and saying, look, this is what happened, if you don't have a waiver or a clause in there, you open yourself up for years gone and for years coming, for forever effectively. So I think that's where it'll get to. And again, if you're an 18-year-old coming into the competition, I don't think you're as concerned now about concussion and the protocols in terms of return to play as we were 15 years ago, when it was very cowboyish in the way that, well, if you know your name and you know where you are, get back out there, play the next week, it doesn't really matter.
But that's the challenge for me and the issue. A lot of this is all retrospective, and that's maybe where you might have to have something to stop players retrospectively saying, oh, I was only told to have 12 days off, where in 10 years' time we might learn you need, you know, 3 months off.
Yeah.
And they can say, I came back and played within 2 weeks, so, which, you know, going back to what we're talking about from 10, 20 years ago. So maybe there is a clause that, hey, what we know, as we are doing our best, the AFL, as of what we know right now,
and
with all the experts,
Yeah. Now, again, there's an argument that may have belatedly got to that point in some people's eyes, and that's a fair argument to mount. But as of some years ago, they are doing everything they can. Because the element of danger is what makes it so appealing as well, isn't it?
But to some extent, knowing what we know now about concussions, there would have been times in my first few years where you wouldn't have returned to the field of play or wouldn't have been allowed to when you were. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cop a big hit, get back out. Are you okay?
You wouldn't even go off to be
checked. Not even sure. Yeah, you wouldn't even go up. You'd sit there, you'd be seeing stars, you'd be blurred vision in one eye.
Have you had a moment that you reflect upon that you would have handled very differently now, knowing what you do know?
Oh, a few of them. Yeah. We laugh a lot about the Bernie Vince clip that he ran through the middle of me. I bounced straight back up. But I remember for the next probably half of that game and then the next week just being completely nowhere out on the field, looking around. And again, that's sort of the danger that you then put yourself into, then getting hit again. Thankfully, I didn't. But these sort of things that at the time, you just go, well, I'm right. I bounce back up. There's no get you off. Reassess, no, sit out the rest of it. You think you're fine, but you don't really know.
It feels like you're in a sort of dream, like you're out there, but you don't feel really
present. That's a real feeling.
I probably look back and experience a game like that where I wouldn't have said I overhead concussion, but looking back, realising there was a game where I knew that I wasn't with it, but still played being out there. Yeah.
Recruits, there's a lot of clubs that are going to be hoping that the people they've brought in change fortunes. I'll just start this. I think the Gunston recruit by Brisbane Lions is going to be proven to be a masterstroke. I love what they did with Dunkley as well, but I reckon Gunston will reshape that forward line, and the footy brain that he's got is going to help that club immensely.
Yeah, like it. I wanted to hold fire on you early. I think Liam Jones will have the biggest impact for the Western Bulldogs. Yep. I think I can see him anchoring that defence, the domino effect it'll have on the rest of the team. Maybe he can, as I said, I think the Bulldogs can spike off the back of it. So I think Liam Jones, and when we look back, we'll realise he was awesome for a four-year period when he was at the Blues. We used to joke that he was, at times, the sort of the one-man band that was saving Carlton from getting scored against with those intercept marks when the ball was flinging down the field. So I think Liam Jones will have a huge impact.
I'm going to go with Brisbane, but Dunkley through the midfield. I think that midfield is screaming out for someone to either defend or show them how to defend, and that's the only thing. I think even the small sample size we saw against the preseason against the Cats, where they held them goalless in the first quarter. Yes, Geelong had players out, but that's a mindset shift. To not concede a single goal for a quarter, two for the half, that is a real defensive shift in their mindset, because it's very easy just to cough up one or two after being good for 20 minutes to see it out to quarter time. I already think we're seeing the impact of that. And then conversely, the hole that it's going to leave on the Western Bulldogs and their lack of intent to defend.
Your weekend tips not too far away, but up next on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, it's the brand new segment, Fair Dinkum or Fugazi.
Oh, I am the Fugazi.
This is the Midweek Rub.
We like it when someone gives you a clip.
Stay in your lane, mate.
Triple M rocks footy.
That's right. It all kicks off tomorrow night. You can hear every game this year on the Listener app and on Triple M footy, of course. No duck this year, so we couldn't do the Daisy duck dive. So we've got a brand new segment called Fair Dinkum.
This is your idea, Rabsy, so it better be good.
Or Fugazi. It's Rudy's idea.
Now on the Midweek Rub, it's
Fair Dinkum.
Or
Fugazi, Fugazi, it's a wazzy, it's a woozy, it's a...
Well, you'd already had an opener for it, so it must be going ahead.
Okay, it's going all right. So we'll pose a question to one of you, and we want to know if it's Fair Dinkum or Fugazi. So I'll start with you, Joey. So obviously this year, Max Gawn's going to be playing more forward. He can be a 30-goal forward this year for the Demons. Fair Dinkum or Fugazi?
No, that's Fugazi. He won't kick 30 goals. I don't think that he needs to kick 30 goals. If he kicks 20, maybe 25, I think he's done his job. Oh, I can see more of the Grundy and Gawn combination working around the ground. I think you'll see the impact they'll have long down the line in defence and sort of through the midfield. He'll kick a few goals, but I think 30 is probably out of the question.
Will you raise that between the two of them they kick 50?
50 will be a great result. I don't think they'll kick 50. If they do, Melbourne will be winning a flag.
I'm going Fair Dinkum on that one, Rabsy. I saw Max Gawn kick 5 goals in a prelim final.
Yeah.
He can kick goals.
Kick 16 that year, though.
Five in the second most important game of the year.
Daisy, Trent Cotchin is not in Richmond's best 22.
Fugazi.
Okay.
I still have him as being a very solid member of that team. I've seen enough of him in the forward line to show that he's got enough tricks and enough craft in that spot to make a go of it. This is, as we talked before, round one.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the year, it might be proven to be fact. But right now, I say Fugazi.
Yeah, I agree. He doesn't have to kick 20, 25 goals as a forward. Not every forward has to kick 30 goals. I think we just always presume, like with what I just said with Max Gawn. But Brian Myers kicked 13 goals for Geelong last year. I mean, but he played a significant role in that team. I think Trent Cotchin's role in that forward midfield mix will be very important.
Think of Kane Lambert. Yeah. He goes out of the side, of course. You need someone to play a disciplined role, covering for your Dusty Martins, covering for your Hoppers and Tarantos who don't defend.
Shane Bolton.
He gets it. Also, chuck him in the midfield. Pretty good replacement.
Damo, the AFL need to find the bolt cutters and cut off the padlock holding Marvel Stadium's roof shut so they can open this Saturday. It's going to be 32 degrees, going to be about 573 under the lid at Marvel. Yeah. Fair Dinkum or Fugazi?
That's Fair Dinkum. I'm old school in this one, and I think I'm in a minority. I like the roof open at that stadium. I just hate it when it's sunny and they shut it off. So, and the heat factor, if you're telling me it's going to be that hot, open it up.
Mate, you can't sit on one side of the ground if the roof's open.
You can't play when the roof's open.
You can't see.
The sun is shocking
that
at Marvel Stadium. Yes, it
Joey,
does.
Footy's been played in the sunshine forever, mate. Yeah, but this is the sunshine, not half the ground in dark, like proper dark, and then into the
And the ground faces the wrong way for Marvel Stadium. Yeah. The sun is in your eyes for the majority of the game. Nah, keep it
shut. Don't worry about the bolt cutting.
It's an indoor
stadium. Get some TNT and blow the joint up.
That's an indoor stadium.
They're just
renovating it. Joey Montagna.
Oh.
Mm. Carlton will finish top four. Fair dinkum or Fugazi, knowing that you are big on a fact that team will come outside of the eight and finish top four.
Yep, you can't argue with history. Generally, every year one team comes from outside the eight into the top four, so that is fair dinkum. That can be Carlton, absolutely. I think they tick every box this year. I think they're cherry ripe. I rate the coach. I rate the captain. So I think the leadership's there. There's no excuses for Carlton. Absolutely, they can finish top four.
Damo, on the back of Daisy becoming a boundary rider at Channel 7 and jumping in the Sunday rub, he is the hottest product in footy at the moment, in the media. Fair dinkum or Fugazi?
Oh, I think he already was. So that's just a doubling down of fair dinkum there on Ravi. He took off last year, this juggernaut of a media personality, and been able to juggle a few balls and not get into as much trouble as I feared you were going to at one stage.
So, I appreciate that.
Well done.
Keeps him out of trouble, how much work he's doing there.
That's not a bad point.
Okay, on top of that, Stevie Johnson is the Sunday Rub's biggest recruit this year, John. Fair dinkum or Fugazi?
No, that's fair dinkum. Yeah, we've got Normie on board this year. I can't wait to see what Stevie J offers. He's got Normie. He's got a different way of seeing the game, but I reckon it'd be fascinating, Daisy. I'm looking forward to having Stevie J in the box and giving his insights and getting some stories out of Stevie J.
He's got some stories.
He's got many stories.
Tell some of them, but he's got some.
The beauty of it too, very Triple M, most of his stories are about him.
Exactly.
Pumping himself up.
We look forward to final one, Daisy. Joe Danaher can win the Coleman medal this year. Fair dinkum or Fugazi?
Fair dinkum he can. Fugazi he will.
Okay.
Yeah, he can obviously because he's going to play in a side that kicks and has the opportunity to kick a lot of goals. I think that if Brisbane are to go deep, I just see it as a three-man forward line with equal contribution across the board. Him, obviously, Hipwood, and then the man you spoke of, Gunston, before down there. So I don't think he will. And I think if he does, that means it won't be such a good thing for Brisbane.
And all three of you, this segment will be back next week. Fair dinkum or Fugazi?
Fugazi.
I like it, Rebs. Piss it off.
No, I think it was a good debut. We can certainly massage it and work with it. We'll go with it, Rebs.
Massage it and work with it.
A bit cliche to ask you about Max Gorn being done to death, but that's all right. Oh, we'll keep rolling with it.
Fair dinkum or Fugazi? What's your ladder prediction this year, Joe?
1 through 18, go.
We're wrapping up the midweek rub next with the boys' weekend predictions.
Is the midweek rub. You are a genius, Daisy.
No, I couldn't agree more with you there, Joey.
Triple M rocks footy.
See, it all kicks off tomorrow night at the MCG on Triple M Footy and the Listener app. Before we get your weekend predictions, Joey, Damo and Daisy, I want to get a Smokey to win the flag, a Smokey to win the Brownlow, and just a Smokey season prediction. One from left field. I don't want to hear Melbourne's going to win the flag. And Lockie Neal's going to win the Brown.
I'll give you a Smokey prediction. I think Toby Green can win the Coleman medal this year. A lot of unknowns about the GWS Giants. We've been told they're going to bit more orange tsunami sort of football. He'll play more forward. I think he can kick your 60-odd goals.
That's a big Smokey.
That's a big 37 last year, and he missed half a season because he was either headbutting umpires.
He missed five games.
That's half the season, mate. What's the season go for this year? 10? Yeah.
We're on a similar page
there
a little bit.
There you go, Dave,
because
mate.
Smokey for the Brownlow. I think one day he will win one, but I think Tom Green at the Giants has got Brownlow medal written all over him.
Really?
He's now the number one man in that midfield. He will get 30-plus touches every week, and if they can be the bit of the bolter, like we spoke about with Collingwood, and they finish 10th, 9th, maybe sneak into the top 8, I can see Tom Green polling a lot of votes for the GWS Giants. Just keep an eye on that name.
I think it's well known to this group of my obsession with the talents of Chad Warner. So I'm throwing him into that Brownlow prediction category there, Rabsy.
Then what do we want to flag? Other than the big three.
Other than the big three. So not Melbourne, not Brisbane, not Geelong. Who could win it outside of those three teams?
Now I can see the Bulldogs winning it this year. They're my one. As I said, I think that all three other facets of their game are still strong. It was only their defence. Big issues with their defence. But if they can fix that up, I think they can be a top four team and challenge for a flag.
Given you're not allowed to choose a big three, I think it's too obvious to choose the loser of last year's grand final, Sydney, so I'll leave them out of the way as well. I'm going to go with Port Adelaide, just if it all goes well. And I realise and I say it needs to all go well. But I just reckon watch Jason Horne-Francis. It'll take him a while to bed down his talents, but I reckon come mid-season, he'll start to emerge.
I'm going to go with the Pies. And I know that's we're outside the top four from last year in terms of the big four you're speaking of. They'd run the Premier to win a kick twice. Sydney, same thing in the prelim. If they can get it right again, which all things point to the fact that they have those younger players come on again, your Quaynors, your Dacosses, the likes of that, I can see them being a real exciting threat.
Yeah, I like it. Are we allowed to bench Aaron Norton, just for those who have a look at Aaron Norton's odds to win the Coleman medal. Mm. If the Bulldogs are to pile on a lot of goals and play well, Aaron Norton could announce himself as the best key forward in the game by the end of this year. He's a smoky to win the Coleman medal.
Your weekend predictions. So we're changing it up this year. We want a certainty to win from each of you and a surprise packet that could potentially win this weekend as well. I'll start with you, Joey.
This is hard. Nearly every game is 50-50.
It's a ripping first round,
isn't it? It's a cracking
well done to the schedulers.
I think as the outsiders, I think Carlton can beat Richmond tomorrow night. I think that the Blues will be cherry ripe early in the year. So I'm going to take Carlton as my outsider to upset Richmond. And I'm going to go Brisbane as my moral against Port Adelaide in Adelaide.
Certainty and surprise will go with
that. That's a brave certainty.
Yeah. It is, but there's not many others I'm really... and I don't want... Yeah, that's a tough one.
I'm
going to
go with the Blues tomorrow night. They are the underdogs against Richmond. I just like them. There's two Coleman medalists. There's a Brownlow medalist that are going to be running around for him, so I like them in the first game. Certainty-wise, I'm going with Fremantle against the Saints on the Sunday twilight fixture.
Mm-hmm. We like that. I'm going to... If you hear the reversing noises of a truck, that's me backing it up to Carlton tomorrow night. They are my certainty.
Really?
Could not be more bullish on them at a price too. And Adelaide for my surprise. Adelaide to knock over GWS.
Let's keep tally this year. Okay. On how many certainties we got right and how many...
Can we do full-blooded tipping like outside of this that we can do on socials or something?
No. I'll
see myself out.
Well, that's it. The first round's midweek rub is run and done. Don't forget, you can listen to every game across round one on Triple M and the Listener app, starting with tomorrow night's opening night blockbuster between Richmond and Carlton live from 7 p.m. with Luke Darcy, Nathan Brown, Daisy Thomas, Kate McCarthy, Ethan Meldrum, and Nat Ioannidis. Have a good weekend, boys.
Bye, Rudy.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damien Barrett. Follow Triple M Footy on socials to get the latest news and highlights. And to live stream games or listen anytime, download the Listener app, LISTNR.